Hey everybody, it's Naomi Wolf. Hey everybody, it's Naomi Wolf of Daily Cloud, and I'm really excited to be broadcasting from the South Bronx, where we've moved our base of operations. It's an amazing part of the five boroughs of Manhattan. It's an incredibly vibrant community, and I'm really honored and excited to be a new neighbor of the South Bronx and to have our new studios broadcasting from the South Bronx. So having said that, today we are actually reading HRES 660. So what is that? It is the resolution. And of course, a resolution, as we in this community know, is different from a bill. A resolution is the sentiment of Congress. Basically, it's Congress saying this is what we are committed to. But what it does is it forms the framework for the impeachment proceedings. That are a matter of so much understandable debate and argument and ire between the parties, and that are unfortunately being so politicized right now. When I say unfortunately, those of you who follow my reporting and the reading of what the act of impeachment is and the explanation of that, which Daily Cloud did in another video, you know that I feel and we feel that impeachment, like any of the other tools that our founders gave us to defend our beautiful democracy, really is not supposed to be used for partisan purposes. It's supposed to be a way to make sure that our nation always has a swift, effective way to deal with any leader who is not serving the public, or who has a conflict, or who is corrupt in any way. And those of you who joined us for the earlier video about what is impeachment, what's it for, what did the founders mean, you'll know that impeachment actually is supposed to be, it's a pretty low bar, you know, it's a pretty low bar. And our system is supposed to be set up so that we can really get rid of leaders who are in any way objectionable, corrupt, serving two masters very, very quickly and effectively. But, you know, to bring us to this present moment, it's very disturbing to me to see the Democrats taking out ads in my Twitter feed, and this is not a partisan observation, saying join us for impeachment, because impeachment is not supposed to be partisan politics. It's not supposed to be political football, to use that cliche. It's supposed to be democracy cleaning its own house in a completely nonpartisan way. So it's very wrong, really. I mean, I don't just mean morally wrong. I mean, it's not what the founders intended for either quote unquote side to say, ooh, look, we're going to impeach the president. Come join us as we impeach the president. It's a somber responsibility. And again, remember, those of you who joined us for that discussion will recall that impeachment isn't the act of firing someone. It's the act of getting the conversation started formally to prepare the way to fire someone effectively if that person is not serving the public or has, again, two masters, shows any signs of corruption, and so on. So I'm not here to weigh in about whether or not President Trump should be impeached. That's not Daily Cloud's job. As you know, Daily Cloud is totally nonpartisan. But I am here to read the bill or to read the resolution. There's been so much back and forth, protests, eruptions, people clamoring. And the Republicans, I would say reasonably enough, are objecting very strongly to what they call secret proceedings. So what you're going to hear when we explain HRES 660, which passed, and it lays the groundwork for impeachment. It explains how the impeachment proceedings will unfold. It says who does what, basically. It's almost like a scope of work, right? A lot of these resolutions, like we read the Green New Deal, that was a resolution. It wasn't a bill. And what that did was it set up, this is going to be the committee. This is going to be basically the organizational chart for who implements the Green New Deal. And we found a lot of problems with the Green New Deal. Procedurally, again, not a partisan thing to say. So HRES 660 is a similar thing. It basically says, okay, in this undertaking, here's who's going to do what, here's the organizational chart, and here are the rules, essentially. So This week in Congress, I'm now going to explain, the House passed HRES 660 a lot close to party lines, and it sets up, as I mentioned, committees to exercise its constitutional power to impeach Donald John Trump, the President of the United States of America, and for other purposes. So the resolution passed in the week that ended November 1st, 232 to 196. Two Democrats voted against the bill. So the summary is that the resolution sets up committees, and we'll read to you exactly what they are, and it sets deadlines for requesting witnesses or records or documentation. So it's like a, almost like a trial or like a, you know, an investigation. But what's really important to me when I read this is it says electronic transcripts of the hearing with classified redactions must be made available to the public by SHIF, and the Intelligence Committee must submit its findings and any recommendations of materials it may deem appropriate with respect to the investigation, along with any supplemental, minority, additional, or dissenting views to the committee, and make the report publicly available in electronic form to the public. All right, so pay close attention to that before we read the bill. You're going to be listening to a lot of jargon as usual, but I hope you know by now you are smart enough to understand this resolution. You are smart enough to understand any bill that we read, any piece of legislation, anything our leaders put together. It is not too difficult for you. That is our mission, to assure you of that and show you that week after week. So when we go through this, pay attention, listen to this resolution saying it has to be public, all right? It has to be public. There's no question in this resolution that you get to read and hear every single thing that transpires, unless it's actually classified. And classified, you know, to take a bit of a detour, classification has long been a subject of argument and debate. Many reporters, and I've certainly felt this in the past, believe that too many things are classified. The classification is overused, often as a way to protect administrations, to protect embarrassing documents that administrations don't want to have public or intelligence agencies don't want to have public. You know, a famous example, of course, is the Pentagon Papers, which many people felt, you know, they were classified. Many people felt that it was a matter of public public service to make those available, to leak them. But whether or not you think that too many things are classified, there is a reason, you know, there are good reasons having to do with national security for some things to be classified or redacted before they go into the public realm. You don't want to abuse that in a working democracy, but the fact that this resolution does call for some classification is a reasonable thing to call for if it's not abused, many people would say, because some of the testimony, some of the documents obviously have to do with sensitive diplomatic issues, sensitive foreign policy issues, matters that the intelligence agencies that do the classification would argue really shouldn't be made public because they would jeopardize American interests. So you could debate that, but you should know what the theory is behind classifications and what the debates are. Of course, before we move on, a challenging thing about classification is that you can't know if something is overclassified if you don't know what's being classified, what's being redacted. A lot of people who have worked for the intelligence community, for instance, like Valerie Plame, have had their books explaining important public service issues, like her scandal about having had her cover blown by the Bush administration to punish her husband for saying that there was no yellowcake uranium in Africa, as you will recall. You know, her book was heavily redacted to the point of being unpublishable almost. And some would argue, or she argued, that it was redacted as punishment, as retaliation. So I'm just sharing that kind of range of thoughts about classification before we get into the actual resolution. So here we go. HRES 660, directing certain committees to continue their ongoing investigations as part of the existing House of Representatives inquiry into whether sufficient grounds exist for the House of Representatives to exercise its constitutional power to impeach Donald John Trump, President of the United States of America, and for other purposes, as I mentioned. So it was sponsored by a bunch of people, of course, Democrats, and they submitted the following resolution, which was referred to the Committee on Rules and again passed. Resolution. It's not very long, it's 8 pages, so bear with me. Directing certain committees to continue their ongoing investigations as part of the existing House of Representatives inquiry into whether sufficient grounds exist for the House of Representatives to exercise its constitutional power to impeach Donald John Trump, President of the United States, for other purposes. Resolved that the Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, listen to the committees, and the Committees on Financial Services, right, banks, Foreign Affairs, the Judiciary, Oversight and Reform and Ways and Means are directed to continue their ongoing investigations as part of the existing House of Representatives inquiry into whether sufficient grounds exist for the House of Representatives to exercise its constitutional power to impeach Donald John Trump, President of the United States of America. Section 2. Listen, open and transparent investigative proceedings by the Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence for the purpose of continuing the investigation described in the first section of this resolution. The Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, referred to in this resolution as the Permanent Select Committee, is authorized to conduct proceedings pursuant to this resolution as follows. One, the chair of the Permanent Select Committee shall designate an open hearing or hearings pursuant to this section, right? So that's what is underway. And really pay attention, it's the Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. So that's who's running this show. It's not exactly pure civilian inquiry, right? It's very specifically the intelligence community. And the Republicans have argued that that community is very hostile to the Trump administration. Two, notwithstanding clause 2J2 of rule 11 of the rules of the House of Representatives, upon recognition by the chair for such purpose under this paragraph, during any hearing designated pursuant to paragraph one, the chair and ranking minority member of the Permanent Select Committee shall be permitted to question witnesses for equal specified periods of longer than 5 minutes as determined by the chair. So witnesses shall be questioned, okay? The time available for each period of questioning under this paragraph shall be equal for the chair and the ranking minority member. The chair may confirm recognition for multiple periods of such questioning, but each period of questioning shall not exceed 90 minutes in the aggregate. So they're spelling out how long a witness can be questioned for, and that it's not going to go over an hour and a half altogether each kind of sprint. Only the chair and ranking minority member or Permanent Select Committee employee, if yielded to by the chair or ranking minority member, may question witnesses during such periods of questioning. So only members of the intelligence community, as I read this, or I beg your pardon, or the oversight committee of the intelligence community can question witnesses. To me, if you really tease that out, that really sounds kind of biased. And I'm being totally nonpartisan, but it's like, why should that be the case if there's already this bad blood or hostility between the president and the intelligence community? Why should the committee that oversees the intelligence community have so much power? It's really not clear to me. And other impeachment proceedings have not, as I recall, been set up to have the committee that oversees the intelligence community have such a vast amount of power. I mean, really, the way it's structured, this committee is kind of in charge of questioning. At the conclusion of questioning pursuant to this paragraph, the committee shall proceed with questioning under the five-minute rule, pursuant to clause, etc. To allow for full evaluation of minority witness requests, the ranking minority member may submit to the chair in writing any request for witness testimony relevant to the investigation described in the first section of the resolution within 72 hours after notice is given for the first hearing designated pursuant to paragraph one. Any such request shall be accompanied by a detailed written justification of the relevance of the testimony of each requested witness to the investigation described in the first section of this resolution. So again, And I am not partisan, but listen to how that's set up. It's basically saying the minority has to give detailed justification in writing to the Permanent Select Committee, the people who oversee the intelligence community, after they hear other testimony from a witness, right? So if they feel like a witness has been damaging to their cause, or they want to bring someone to correct the record in their view, they have to give notice. They have 72 hours, and they need to provide a detailed written justification of the relevance of the testimony of each requested witness. So how would you know, right? This just seems so slanted. How would you know in advance what the relevance of the testimony is going to be of a witness before you've heard that testimony, right? So it does not sound like an open investigation with these rules. It sounds to me like the rules are set up really, and I personally don't like Trump, but really in a way that biases the outcomes against the president. That's how it sounds to me. And it also sounds like to not simply be able to say, look, we're the, you know, representatives of the people of the United States of America. We need to call this witness that you mentioned and ask some follow-up questions. We don't know what we're gonna find, right? That's kind of not allowed in this structure. Like they have to be able to kind of make a case for calling the witness to this all-powerful committee. And that does not seem like a healthy investigation, and it doesn't seem like an objective investigation. It seems like the rules kind of predetermine what we get to hear. 4A, the ranking minority member of the Permanent Select Committee is authorized with the concurrence of the chair, right? So the chair has to agree to require as deemed necessary to the investigation by subpoena or otherwise the attendance and testimony of any person, including at a taking of a deposition and the production of books, records, correspondence, memoranda, papers, and documents, and by interrogatory, the furnishing of information. So this is basically saying, what can you ask for, right? You can, and these are normal things to ask for in an investigation or even in a hearing. They can ask for anyone to show up, right? And they can depose them, him or her. They can ask for books, records, correspondence, memos, papers, and documents to be provided. So it's like a subpoena power for a broad range of materials. And by interrogatory, the furnishing of information, I think that means they get to ask them questions and the answers then lead to other material being provided. But listen to how they get to ask. The ranking minority member of the Permanent Select Committee is authorized with the concurrence of the chair. So it still gives this incredible, like, I hate to say it, but tyrannical power to the chair of the Permanent Select Committee. They can't just disagree, right? The ranking minority member can't just say, you know what? This doesn't seem right. I want to ask for this, this, and this. The chair has to say, that's right, Biff. You get to do that. And again, that doesn't feel like a healthy, objective, unbiased set of rules. B, in the case that the chair declines to concur in a proposed action of the ranking minority member, pursuant to subparagraph A, the ranking minority member shall have the right to refer to the committee for decision the question whether such authority shall be so exercised, and the chair shall convene the committee promptly to render that decision subject to the notice procedures for committee meeting under clause 2G, 3A, and B of Rule 11. So you, like, bear with me, because under the verbiage, there's something really important happening. If Biff, the ranking minority member, gets to ask a question or ask for a witness or ask for material that the chair doesn't agree to, he has to go through this elaborate process of referring to the committee to decide whether the chair should convene the committee to render the decision about his request subject to various notice procedures. So again, huge amounts of red tape are being put in the path of someone disagreeing with the chair of the committee, even disagreeing on the direction of the impeachment hearings, right? They can't say, wow, this came up today. that's a surprise. Let's hear more about it, or let's hear if he has an alibi, or let's see his calendar and see if he was really there. Let's get some new witnesses that we've never heard of before. There's all these barriers put in the path of anyone disagreeing with the direction of the witnesses being called if that goes against the chair. C, subpoenas and interrogatories so authorized may be signed by the ranking minority member and may be served by any person designated by the ranking minority member. All right. Five, the chair is authorized, listen, to make publicly available in electronic form the transcripts of depositions conducted by the Permanent Select Committee in furtherance of the investigation described in the first section of this resolution with appropriate redactions for classified and other sensitive information. So, boom, there is no question about this, everyone. You should be reading, you know, slightly redacted testimony in real time. You shouldn't have to rely on reporters. You shouldn't have to rely on press releases. You shouldn't have to rely on blogs or Twitter. You should be able to go to a government site and read the direct electronic transcriptions of every witness and see an electronic record of every piece of material that's been presented in the hearings. That is totally in black and white. No one should be able to tell you that you don't have a right to do it. Where is it? All right. If it exists, by all means, show me. I haven't seen it. But every single thing that's been presented in the hearings, you should be able to look at the primary record. Six, the Permanent Select Committee is directed to issue a report setting forth its findings and any recommendations and appending any information and materials the Permanent Select Committee may deem appropriate with respect to the investigation described in the first section of this resolution. That's normal. At the end of these hearings, these depositions, there's going to be a report saying what this committee recommends. That's pretty normal. And they may recommend to pursue the next stage of impeachment or not. The chair shall transmit such report and appendices along with any supplemental, minority, additional, or dissenting views filed pursuant to Clause 2.1 of Rule 11 to the Committee on the Judiciary, because these are the branches of government that are involved, the executive and the judiciary, and make such report publicly available in electronic form with appropriate redactions to protect classified and other sensitive information. Listen to that, other sensitive information. That's a weasel word. Right? I get that classified material has to be redacted. I shared the argument about whether people classify too much, but other sensitive, that is totally a violation of the First Amendment. It's a violation of US government transparency. And it basically says if there's something here that the Democrats don't want shared or the Republicans don't want shared, they can just withhold it from the people of the United States. And that is not okay. So that's page 5, and the line is 22, so page 522, you need to tweet this resolution to your bill sponsor, to your representative, and say, page 5, line 22, strike other sensitive information. That is not okay. The report required by this paragraph shall be prepared in consultation with the chairs of the Committee on Foreign Affairs and the Committee on Oversight and Reform. Reasonable enough, I suppose, because it involves foreign policy. All right. Page 6, we're almost done. Transmission of additional materials. The chair of the Permanent Select Committee or the chair of any other committee having custody of records or other materials related to the inquiry referenced in the first section of this resolution is authorized in consultation with ranking minority member to transfer such records or materials to the Committee on the Judiciary. So that's a kind of alarming because it basically, again, seems predisposed to be moving all of this along the path of impeachment before the hearings are even concluded. Section 4, impeachment inquiry procedures in the Committee on the Judiciary. A, the House authorizes the Committee on the Judiciary to conduct proceedings related to the impeachment inquiry referenced in the first section of this resolution pursuant to the procedures submitted for printing in the Congressional Record by the Chair of the Committee on Rules, including such procedures as to allow for the participation of the President and his counsel. So that's, again, basically, a bit alarming to me as an American citizen. It does seem predisposing, even before the hearings are concluded, that the next step is planned for And it's saying at this point, the president and his lawyer get to be notified of what happens next. The Committee on the Judiciary is authorized to promulgate additional procedures as it deems necessary for the fair and efficient conduct of committee hearings held pursuant to this resolution, provided that the additional procedures are not inconsistent with the procedures referenced in subsection A, the rules of the committee and the rules of the House. So that is kind of reassuring. Like, in an ideal world, you wouldn't even need a new resolution spelling out how to do an impeachment, because there are already rules to do an impeachment, right? You shouldn't be, it's very serious to kind of tamper with or innovate the rules of democracy. So this resolution is a little bit alarming to me, because we already have clear procedures for how to go about an impeachment. It's the rule, it's in the rules of the House. C1, the ranking minority member of the Committee on the Judiciary is authorized with the concurrence of the chair of the Committee of the Judiciary to require as deemed necessary the investigation by subpoena or otherwise the attendance and testimony of any person, including at a taking of a deposition and the production of books, records, correspondence, memoranda, papers, and documents, and by interrogatory the furnishing of information. So again, it's the same language you heard before, basically saying at this next stage, they get to call witnesses, they get to ask for documents, they get to ask for memoranda and records and books. However, alarmingly to me, they've already built in the presumption, or maybe not the presumption, but the architecture for these hearings going out of the House and moving on to the Judiciary Committee, or going out of the Intelligence Committee and moving to the Judiciary Committee. And of course, as you can hear, if you're Donald Trump, that's much more serious, right? In the case that the chair declines to concur in a proposed action of the ranking minority member pursuant to paragraph one, again, it gives the chair so much power. The ranking minority member shall have the right to refer to the committee for decision the question of whether such authority shall be so exercised, and the chair shall convene the committee promptly to render the decision subject to notice procedures for committee meeting, etc. So the exact same language that we heard before with the select committee before it went to the Judiciary Committee. But what it does is, again, it gives all the power to the chair. And it says if there's a ranking minority member who doesn't agree, that person has to go through all of these hurdles and face all of this difficulty just to call a witness. Again, very slanted, very like built in predetermined outcomes. Three, subpoenas and interrogatories are so authorized may be signed by the ranking minority member and may be served by any person designated by the ranking minority member. Okay, so they do get to subpoena and ask questions. D, almost done, the Committee on the Judiciary shall report to the House of Representatives such resolutions, articles of impeachment, and other recommendations as it deems proper. That's the end of the resolution. That's resolution 660. So now you have it. It's not quite eight. It's a little short of 8 pages long. And it basically sets up the rules, as I said before, which we shouldn't have to set up because, as I said, we already know how to impeach a president. And I can't stress enough, and sorry to be a bit repetitive, but it really does bias the proceedings in favor of the chair in both cases, in both committees. And it does seem to set up a presupposition that this will go to the Judiciary Committee, or it sets up the architecture for that outcome. If I were the subject of this impeachment, I would be very upset because it really does seem to say, you know what, we're going to go through these hearings, but then it's going to go to the Judiciary Committee. And, you know, you could just assume that it's going to go through the Judiciary Committee. And if someone wants to call a witness that's exculpatory to you, or ask for calendars that are exculpatory to you, or, you know, get phone records that could totally put this in a whole different light, they have to jump through all these hoops and they have to get the okay of the chair. So basically, I know you guys are super patient with this verbiage that, you know, these resolutions kind of face us with, but the bottom line is And I am not a Republican. I think of myself as an independent, but I'm not a Republican. This does seem like an extraordinarily unfair impeachment resolution. And it seems extraordinarily to violate, the First Amendment, because it says that our representatives can't ask for witnesses freely, and they can't, it basically says they can't sit up there if they're on the committee and say, hey, wait a minute, I don't agree with this. We need to call a witness to contradict this or to provide the other point of view. It doesn't let you do that. And that's why these hearings are likely to have such a kind of weirdly theatrical and formal quality, because it's not a live hearing, essentially. It's not like our elected representatives saying, wait a minute, Biff, you point of order, whatever the simple rules of Congress are supposed to be, you call that witness, I want to call another witness. It's not. Our Congress is not supposed to work this way. And again, I can't stress enough, we've already done the video on this. We already have rules for impeachment, and they're much more even-handed than this. Like, we read them. They're very neutral. It's like how the game is played. It's like you're playing Monopoly. Both sides get this number of, pieces, and they roll the dice. That's what the real impeachment rules are that we read, that are part of our democracy. These are not neutral rules of the game. These are highly gamed, highly managed. They completely predetermine what is going to be presented, and that it's, you can expect that. And I'm no fan of President Trump, trust me, being nonpartisan. I'm no fan of Hillary Clinton, but I see myself as an independent. My job is to be nonpartisan, but this is categorically biased against the person who's being impeached. If it was Bill Clinton on the other end of this kind of a resolution, it would alarm me as well. It very much reminds me of the Green New Deal rules that I read to you that basically game the whole system, right? And say, well, these people will be winners and these people will be losers. So that is HRS 660. It passed. It's happening. It's underway. And the big takeaway for you all is that you have the right to hear every single thing that happens in those hearings. There's no such thing as secret hearings, according to HRS 660. No such thing. No such thing as secret meetings. I mean, if only if it's classified can there be a secret meeting, even only if the whole meeting is classified. And that is a very formal designation by the intelligence agencies, right? It's not just like Biff saying, let's classify this, right? That is the only way that you, Joe and Jane Public, can ever legitimately be told, you don't get to hear what this witness said. You don't get to see what this document is that has been presented here in these impeachment hearings. So that's Daily Clout. That's HRS 660. It's, once again, a shocker. If you don't like it, we're going to embed the actual resolution in this video at the bottom. I'm going to do a little blog, and the actual resolution, by the magic of Bill Camp, will be embedded in the bottom of this presentation. And you take a look at it, and if you do not like the giving of all the power to the chairs of these two committees, all the power, right, then tweet it to your representative. And you can go on Bill Cam and see who that is and how to tweet them. Tweet it to the bill, to the resolution sponsors. That's going to be right there in the resolution. You can use Bill Cam to tweet them. If you don't like the language on page 6, line 22, about, oh, it's sensitive, the American people can't deal with it, so we'll just not tell them, right? I don't like that. That's not what our Constitution called for. Then you identify that section and you say, this has got to change, right? You have got to pass an amendment changing this. You can do that. You're in charge. You get to tell your elected representatives if you want to amend some bull nonsense that got passed, you get to tell them exactly how to amend it. You have the right to do that. And Bill Cam and Daily Clout make that possible. So this is me on Sunday night. It's November 9th or 10th. My birthday is coming up. I'm a Scorpio, yes, but I'm a nice Scorpio. And I just want to ask you, again, this is always hard to do, but it's getting easier and easier because we do provide such an amazing public service. You've just heard the impeachment bill, right? The resolution, you've heard it. Everyone else is talking about it. Everyone else is tweeting about it, but you actually know what it says. And if you like that, if you think that's valuable, please become a member of Daily Clout. It's $3.99 a month, or support us on Patreon. You can support us for $5 a month, $10 a month. You can give us a giant gift of $200 or $300. You can write us a big check because we have fixed costs every month to keep Billcam hosted. Our wonderful developers at ARC Interactive help us keep it running, but that costs money. To get the actual resolution to you so you can tweet it to your representative, it is expensive. So to, you know, let's keep the lights on. Let's keep going forward. We've really made a big difference to our elected officials knowing they're being watched and they can't slip anything by us anymore. They're being watched in a nice way, but a firm way. So if you like that and that makes you feel powerful, which it should, and in charge, which it should, send us some cash. Because we're working hard here at Daily Clout to keep you informed of the real bill. Mishka, Nisha, Fran, Charlotte, all the team at Daily Clout, Paul at ARC Interactive, you know, we're really working hard to keep this democracy open for business. So please support us, become a member, and join us next week. It's Naomi Wolf at Daily Clout. Have a week full of freedom and liberty. Take care. Bye-bye.